From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. If your premium players aren't picking up points, we're here to help you get more for your money on the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. It's that time of the week again. Hello, this is the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. I'm Kelly Summers and our panel of guests are ready and armed to hopefully help you through game week 10. And I know one thing's for certain, I need it more than ever with my wildcard active. So come on then, please help us. Lee Bonfield of the FPL family.
Hey Kelly, good morning all.
Someone I'm reluctant to call on, but often gets the big calls right. It's French football journalist, back again, Julien Laron.
Sorry Kelly, hi everyone.
And finally, the man who's got all the stats to back those big calls up, it's the analyst Duncan Alexander.
Hello, Kelly.
Good morning to you all. Now, before we get on to game week 10, let's just have a quick recap of what happened in game week 9. Now, let's be honest, we were all saved once again by Mo Salah. To be honest, I should probably just record and repeat that line every week. But his and Liverpool's amazing 5-0 win ended a remarkable weekend that saw 40 goals scored, including three hat tricks and double-digit hauls from 18 players. Now, our panel did all have Salah, but who else did they have? Who else got all the points this week? Now, Julien, I looked at your team. You did have one of those double-digit hauls elsewhere as well, with your faith in Arsenal paying off.
Yeah, Emile Smith-Rowe did really well, of course, on Friday. The good thing is I was at the game on Friday, so it's always better. I think it's good when you watch TV and your team is doing well in FPL and you see the players doing well, but I think it's even better. It's even more satisfying when you're actually in the stadium live watching one of your players from your team doing well. So Smith Rowe was good on Friday. I mean, then I was at Old Trafford on the Sunday, which was even better to watch Mo Salah destroy United. And the points going up every time I was checking on the app on the team, you know. So a pretty good weekend for them too, for sure.
Should we just not mention Brentford-Leicester when it comes to your team?
Oh, you looked in details. As we said last week, Brian Mbeumo had a lot of faith in him, and I think rightly so. But that was not good. And Jamie Vardy, who I brought on to replace Lukaku, was not too good either. But you know what? There's always this week.
Minor details, Jules. Minor details.
Exactly. You're right. Yeah. And she's lucky that I haven't checked on her team, because I'm sure she's got some pretty dreadful pick as well. But, you know, I'll let her off.
Yeah, there's a reason my wild card is active. Just a word on Emile Smith-Rowe. Two goals in four matches for him. Looking brilliant value, isn't he? Duncan, what about you? How did your team get on? Because I noticed you didn't make any transfers last week.
Yeah, I'm in a weird position. I haven't had a red arrow yet this season. It's the kind of tortoise and the hare policy.
Wow.
Where I'm improving every week, yet, you know, still relatively low down. So I was happy to roll them both over to this week. So, yeah, it was 89 points. Obviously, most of that was Mo Salah, but Livramento still doing stuff and Antonio as well. So, yeah, without Salah, it would have been not ideal, but I think a lot of managers could say that.
Yeah, definitely. I was having a shocker until Sunday night. And Lee, finally, as our resident Liverpool fan, you'll have enjoyed those Mo Salah points, but you had Diogo Jota as well. However, you benched him.
Yeah, I should have had more faith in my own team, Kelly, shouldn't I? I was expecting a bit more of a fight from Manchester United and from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer at Old Trafford. Those games tend to be one-offs, don't they? I thought it won't go with the form book, but it went absolutely with the form book. So yeah, big mistake from me leaving Jota on the bench, but happy to have him in my team going forward.
Did it make it a little bit more painful? Sorry to bring this up again. Oh. We all had quite high scoring game weeks.
Here we go.
How can we not mention the other half of the FPL family this week? 128 points for Sam.
I didn't think she'd do that either, Jules. I can't believe she's thrown that in there. I finally have a half decent week. Every time I come on here, Kelly, you're digging me out and I have one decent week and then you've got to bring that up. Yeah, 128 points for Sam this week, which is ridiculous. I think she went from overall rank 700 and something to about maybe 150, 130. So a massive rank jump for her. Everything went for her this week. It was just crazy. So yeah, good weeks all round in the FPL family household, but an outstanding one for her.
It's almost like if you were saying that Lee is ninth in our own little league and Sam is fourth. You know, that wouldn't be nice. Sorry,
Jules, come on.
Sorry,
my friend.
I was just showing that even when we have the other half FPL family, it doesn't matter what half of the family we have on, there is always FPL expertise. They're both brilliant FPL players. I think that's nice enough now. Are you happy with that, Lee?
Yeah, it's just
doesn't look happy. He looks fuming.
Yeah, shall we move on from game week 9, shall we? It's time to look ahead to game week 10 and beyond. As I said, all of our panel once again saved by Salah. And that's got us asking, is he the only premium FPL player who's still essential? Mo Salah recorded his sixth double-digit haul of the season. That means he is now 50 points ahead of any other player at the top of the FPL rankings. And price now at 12.9 million. He was the only player who returned double digits last weekend that was priced at the time above 8 million. In light of that this week, we are discussing, is he the only premium asset we should have in our teams? We also asked this on @officialFPL on Twitter too. So thanks to everyone who got involved. We'll include some of your shouts as well. Kieran Millard, for example, says currently he's the only indispensable player in my team. Now, Jules, I think the conversation has already passed now as to whether we need to have him in his team. Though, astonishingly, still over 30% of managers don't own him. Is he the only big price player that you should have in your team, do you think?
I think it's hard to disagree with that, of course, when you see all the other big names, if you want, the Harry Kanes and Kevin De Bruyne and even Jamie Vardy to a certain extent, Aubameyang, all those players who cost you a lot of money, Raheem Sterling, who are not doing that great for our game. I've got a problem with Kane is because I brought him in quite early. And it's almost like, you know, when you're watching your own son playing football, and even if they're not good, you keep going because you have to be there to support him. I feel like Harry Kane is my son. I can't drop him. I there's a problem. I can't sell him. I don't know why. And I don't know him personally at all. I've got, you know, but there's something there. I keep thinking he's going to do well one day. So he scores against Newcastle, and suddenly, like I said last week, this is it. Now all the goals are going to keep flowing and keep coming, and it's amazing. And we're going to go back to the Harry Kane of old and everything. And yeah, he has a stinker the following weekend. So I'm like, what to do? But he's like my son. I can't give up on him. You know, Harry, I love you. So I'm going to keep him. But I feel that this is my downfall, to be fair.
Sir Alex Ferguson, probably the greatest football manager ever, he sold his son. So you don't have to. You could give up on him.
Anyway, this pod is taking a very interesting turn. Let's bring it back to premium FPL assets. I don't think Sir Alex Ferguson was an FPL player, Duncan. That's probably part of the problem. Lee, what do you think? As a Liverpool fan, I know you'll have had Salah throughout, but have you got any other big priced players in there? We are, of course, talking about this as well in light of the fact that a few weeks ago, we were all desperately trying to work out how to get Salah, Ronaldo and Lukaku in. Of course, Ronaldo's blank now for four matches in a row and Lukaku's out injured.
Yeah, well, it shows you a lot about how this season's going in FPL in terms of the fluidity of it, the strategic changes we're all having to make, right? I mean, you're right. A few weeks ago, it was how do we get the big three in? Now, we're not even considering two of them, really. I mean, Lukaku will, I'm sure, come back into our thoughts at some stage when he returns from injury. And Ronaldo and Manchester United's fixtures do get better in the sort of medium to longer term. So, you know, it won't be the last we've heard of these guys from FPL. But right now, yeah, I mean, forget about it. Salah's in everyone's team. He's essential. And we don't chuck that tag around too liberally, do we, here on the podcast? But if you've not got him, you just have to. And I think there is a case for making him kind of permanent captain as well, week in, week out. Because even in the bigger games, Chelsea, Man City, or Manchester United, of course, last game week, he's performing. He's getting the points. So he's absolutely got to be in the team. But there is a case for having others. And I've still got Jamie Vardy in my team. Now, this comes with a big caveat, of course, because he had a bit of a knock on his knee, didn't he, before the game last game week in the warm-up for the game. And then obviously didn't play after half-time in the second half of that Leicester game. So comes with a bit of a caveat, this Jamie Vardy. But he's still on 57 points this season. Only Salah's higher than that. And he's clocking up a point every 13.3 minutes, which is still pretty good. 10.8, so he's going to cost you a few quid. But as you say, Kelly, if we're going to go into the premiums, it's Salah and I think just about Jamie Vardy for me.
Yeah, now before the podcast, I did ask you guys, if you were going to bring another premium into your team, who would it be? Can you make a case for anyone? And Jules, aside from your Harry Kane and very weird Spurs allegiances, giving your allegiance to Arsenal, you did come up with another Gunners player who you think might be worth keeping an eye on.
Of course, because Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang is in great form right now, Kelly, and he will cost you 10 million, which, as Lee said, is slightly less than Jamie Vardy. But he scored seven goals in his last nine games. Okay, three of them were That was in all competition. Three of them were in the League Cup, of course, against West Brom. But even in the league, it's been much better for him. He scored in the last two, each of the last two. We saw him being very good against Spurs in the derby, very good again against Villa on Friday night in a front two with Lacazette in a 4-4-2 formation. I don't know how many times Arteta will play in that formation. I don't expect him to play like that against Leicester at the weekend. But certainly in terms of what Aubameyang brings to this team now, he looks more complete. It looks like the way he plays is very different to what we used to before, where he was pretty much only a finisher. Makes him quite interesting if you've got that kind of money, because there's some tough fixtures coming, and we mentioned Leicester, and you know there would be others on Arsenal's point of view, but he would be a threat, I think, for a lot of defences.
Do you know what, Jules? I agree with you. I think his body language just looks better. His overall attitude and approach to the game looks better recently. I sort of wonder behind the scenes whether there is, and he's got a lot of younger players around him, I wonder whether Arteta's kind of given him a bit of a leadership role in that team, whether he's kind of he's the senior player, he's the senior talisman now in that team. And I just think his overall attitude and approach to the games and body language looks better. So, yeah, I agree with you. Both stats-wise and just from the eye test perspective, he looks all right.
So Jules and Lee have both come up with premium strikers. What about you, Duncan? Is there any case to say maybe we should be moving some of these funds into midfield? Because some of the big hitters in that area of the pitch looks to be coming into some form.
Yeah, I mean, we started this season, didn't we? And it was like the return of the sort of iconic centre forwards with Ronaldo and Lukaku. And as we've discussed, that's not really worked out. And I think, you know, I've certainly started to shift my funds into midfield. I've had Son for 3 or 4 weeks. He's done well. And I think if you're going to go for I think Kevin De Bruyne is a really good kind of left field shout. He's owned, which sounds mad in FPL, but at the moment he's owned by 4% of players. He came on against Brighton, looked really good. And if you actually look at the numbers of City's midfielders at the moment, obviously he's played less time than Grealish and Bernardo and Phil Foden, but he's creating 1.18 big chances per 90 minutes, 3.5 chances per 90 minutes. So that really does indicate that his creativity is as good as ever. And if he can stay fit, which is a bit of an if, he could, hit the sort of form that we've seen. And, in previous seasons, he's been like Salah this season. He's been, virtually guaranteed captain at points. So if you're confident, I think De Bruyne, it is a lot of money, but I think he could be about to hit some really good form.
Yeah, he didn't start a match, did he, until game week 6, scoring the 2 games prior to his cameo at Brighton. It's just the problem is, isn't it, whether Pep starts him or not. But I guess that's where just having a good bench comes into play.
Yeah, I mean, obviously what complicates it is you've got Phil Foden, who really does feel like sort of City's main player now, penalty miss at West Ham in midweek in the League Cup aside. But, I mean, he's producing 2.2 shots on target per 90 minutes this season, which is essentially, what a good striker would. And yeah, he's playing up front. So as a midfielder in the game, that is tempting. But who's to say you can't have both? I think it's definitely affordable.
Who would you say is the better? If we took price out of the equation at the moment, who's the better FPL asset for you, Duncan, out of those two?
With the goal scoring that Foden's adding, I think, and the fact he is playing in a position that is different to his FPL position, I think probably Foden. But I do think, seeing De Bruyne with 4% ownership, even if it's only for a couple of weeks, that could give you a bit of an advantage.
And let's not forget Bernardo Silva as well, who's been in incredible form. And maybe if there's a bit more rotation for KDB, it's because both Foden and Bernardo have been so good, especially Bernardo, that you can actually rest De Bruyne without impacting too much on what your team is going to do with the ball, because Bernardo at only 7 million, and I think he's owned by only 5% of the managers or something, or just above 5%, could be a very good differential because he's been on incredible form, and I think Pep would start him pretty much every time.
Now, we've mentioned Harry Kane. Jules is keeping the blind faith in him, it sounds like. But what about Son, Lee? Because I'm seeing a lot of other wildcard teams bringing him in and I'm getting envy. He's done his bit, hasn't he, despite a disappointing start to the season for Spurs. 4 goals and 2 assists from 8 league games. Should we be looking at him, do you think?
Yeah, he looks like the danger man for Spurs. He looks like the one that's going to make it happen, if anything. I have a slight reservation about Spurs as a team, though. I don't think necessarily they are performing at the level that Nuno would want them at, and we as FPL managers would want them at if we're investing in their assets. But Son is the one I think I would go to, and I must admit I had them earmarked for game week 12. I looked at Spurs fixtures, and actually from game week 12 the Spurs fixtures look really, really good. They have Leeds, Burnley, Brentford coming up, a really nice run. But actually, if you look at 10 and 11, Manchester United at home and then Everton away, two teams that have just shipped 5 goals each in the previous game week. So if you want to go a little bit earlier on Sun and grab him this game week, I wouldn't back against that at all. 10.2 million, so going to cost you a few quid, of course, but 13.2 minutes per point for him. So he's racking up the points slightly quicker even than Jamie Vardy is in that kind of price bracket. Appreciate one's a midfielder, one's a forward, but if you're going in at that price bracket, Son looks all right. It's just that kind of Spurs factor that puts me off a little bit. The form that Harry Kane is in or not in, as the case may be, and the way that, you know, if Kane is performing, we saw this last season, that has a knock-on effect to the way that Son performs. And generally speaking, last season, we saw them both get FPL points in a lot of games. But with Kane a little bit out of form and the rest of the team a little bit out of sorts, just makes me hesitate a little bit on Son. So I think I'm going to watch him in 10 and 11. And if he can carry on the form that he's shown already this season, then I'll be bringing him in for 12.
Oh, so that's what Jules is doing. He's just waiting for Son to come into form. So then Kane gets some form.
I thought that form was there against Newcastle, and then it was not very good, certainly in the second half. I think they created chances against West Ham. Son could have scored in that first half on the ball from Ndombele. Kane had a header right at the end of that first half that Fabianski saved well. But then the second half was so poor that I agree with Lee. Collectively as a team, I don't think the Spurs team is right up there right now. But they can improve, and if Son and Kane get going, then I think they would be back to what they do best, which is that incredible understanding and partnership that they have. But yeah, I can see why there's a bit of skepticism about it.
Jules, I'll let you into a secret. I did a minus four last weekend, and Harry Kane, after you coming on the pod, was part of that minus four. But there is a reason I've wildcarded this week, because I quickly realised that bringing in Harry Kane and Kai Havertz, the only Chelsea player who didn't return in a 7-0 win, incidentally, against Norwich, I realised I'd made a huge mistake. So that wildcard button was activated very quickly. Anyway, let's move on from that, shall we? A few more of your tweets then. Trez Etoiles says, yes, at the moment, Salah is the only worthwhile premium asset. Unless you have your wildcard in the back pocket, I think you still want a premium forward as a placeholder for whenever Kane or Ronaldo go on a high scoring streak. Very difficult to get them in if you don't have a premium up front. Maybe that's also one of Jules' tactics. Kieran says, Salah is currently the only indispensable player in my team. And Tom Gribble agreed with Duncan's shout of De Bruyne, created four clear-cut chances on Saturday, and he came on after 75 minutes. So that's our main topic of the week, done and dusted. Let's move on to fixtures. So this weekend kicks off with Leicester versus Arsenal. Then there are 5:30 p.m. fixtures, including both Liverpool and Manchester City in action. Saturday then ends with Manchester United looking to avoid a third defeat in a row as they take on Spurs. And Sunday sees Norwich take on Leeds and Villa West Ham. Monday night football then comes from Molineux, Wolves versus Everton. Now, as always, in this part of the podcast, we ask our panel to take on one fixture each and we discuss it in detail. So off you go, Duncan.
Yeah, I've chosen Spurs United. Obviously, we just spoke about Spurs, but I can add some context to Jules and Lee's theorising. I mean, they've had less open play XG this season than Newcastle. They're just not creating chances. We saw that. And that's obviously, you know, affecting Harry Kane considerably. But even when Harry Kane was good, he's never been that good against Manchester United. He's only got 4 goals in 14 Premier League games against them. And then you look back to this time last year after 8 games, which is what he's played, he had 7 goals and 8 assists. So it really is a huge drop-off despite Jules' faith. And then Ronaldo, who I still have in my team, but I'm pretty much going to get rid of, I think, this week. He's only one goalless game away from his longest drought in the league since he was last at Manchester United in that last season when he went 5 games without a goal. So it is mad when you look at those two players. They've got 48 points this season between them, which is 9 fewer than Mikel Antonio on his own. It's only 10 more than Emmanuel Dennis has got this season, Kane plus Ronaldo. So, you know, that no one saw that coming, really. So, I mean, thinking this game, we've talked about Son already. He's got a pretty good record against Manchester United. He's got 4 goals in his last 2 games against them. So, again, I think that's a really good option. And then Mason Greenwood has got 5 goals in his last 7 Premier League away games. And you do wonder this week how Solskjaer is going to change the team up after last week's disaster. You know, you think Rashford and Greenwood probably would profit against this Tottenham team. So, yeah, I think Greenwood, I mean, I did have him, could bring him back in, I guess, but he would be him or Rashford would probably be my best bets for this weekend for United.
Yeah, it's interesting with United, isn't it, Duncan? Because Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has been in the spotlight, of course, since that 5-0 defeat to Liverpool last weekend. But defensively, they've just been so poor, haven't they?
Yeah, they've let in 10 Premier League goals in October, which if you think the top three have let in 13 combined between them all season, that's, you know, you're not going to win the title letting in 10 goals a month. So, yeah, they look really loose at the back. Obviously, De Gea is probably their best player so far this season, which, again, tells a story a bit like a few years ago. But as we said, Tottenham's attack is almost equally as ineffective. So it's kind of like, you know, can't score, won't defend against each other. So, you know, maybe one of those units will come good this weekend. But we'll have to wait and see.
Let's move on then to one of Saturday's 3 p.m. fixtures. It's rare we say this about Liverpool, isn't it, Lee?
It is, yeah. 3 o'clock on a Saturday. Yeah, we rarely play that time. But that's the fixture I'm going to take a look at. And I'm not going to encourage anybody anymore to captain Salah or to play Salah this week. He's, you know, 10 goals, 6 assists, a shot every 20.3 minutes. I could sit here and reel off as many stats as you need, as you'd expect being a Liverpool fan, to back Mo Salah. But then I looked at the Brighton defence a little bit as well, because the one thing in the back of my head was actually, well, Brighton have been defending pretty well this season. I'm thinking, well, okay, if I'm going to make the captaincy case against Salah, which I'm probably not, but if I was, I'd say, okay, well, Brighton have been defending pretty well this season. They've conceded a big chance every 57.9 minutes this season. However, I looked at some of the stats in the last four, so the more recent Brighton defensive performances, and those stats actually, they get a little bit worse. So they've conceded a big chance every 45 minutes, for example. And you could say that about normal chances as well as big chances. So their stats have actually decreased. They've got a little bit worse defensively in the last four. So again, if you need any more encouragement to captain Salah, then there it is for you. What I will say about Salah is that everyone's got him now. And if he scores another hat-trick at the weekend, a lot of FPL managers are going to be captaining him. So I won't, as a Liverpool fan, shrug my shoulders, but a lot of FPL managers will go, okay, well, Salah's done well, but I don't really make any gains in FPL by Salah doing well because everyone seems to have him. So I'd like to make the case for doubling up on the Liverpool forwards. And actually, Mane, despite the fact he didn't start last game week, still 50 points on the season, a point every 14.7 minutes. So he's still clocking up the points pretty regularly, and his XGI non-penalty, his expected goal involvement outside of penalties, which of course he doesn't take for Liverpool, is still third amongst midfielders. It's Mahrez actually that's first, interestingly, on 76.5 minutes per XGI non-penalty. Then it's Salah at 99.3, as you'd expect. But then third in that table is Mane. So he's actually clocking up the points pretty well. Of course, that price is a little bit prohibitive, and that's going to put some FPL managers off. But listen, we talked about premiums earlier on in the podcast. He might be one to have a look at in the league's most potent attack statistically. So if you want to go somewhere else outside of Salah, I think I'd go for him, or maybe keep having a look at Diogo Jota, of course.
Jules, should we have any word of caution given the fact that Graham Potter's Brighton have received so many plaudits, and Pep Guardiola said, even after his side had won comfortably last weekend, that they are a really good side?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great game. I didn't expect City to destroy them the way they did, because they could easily have won 6-0 or 6-1 in that game. They conceded two more in the League Cup in midweek, which is never good, even if you made a lot of substitutions and rotation and things like that. So I agree with Lee. I'm a bit worried defensively for them after being so strong. But this Liverpool side, I mean, right now, you can just imagine the momentum and the confidence they have. I just wanted to say something quickly on Konate, because we saw him starting at Old Trafford. The fact that Matip and Gomez starting in the League Cup in midweek makes you believe that Konate will keep his place to play against alongside Van Dijk in that game against Brighton. And maybe this is the start of a longer run for him. And when you look, obviously, very low ownership because he was not playing, so no one had him. But I think maybe for our game and for the players, keeping Konate somewhere in your head, because I think he could maybe become a starter regularly for Liverpool, and then I think becoming a really good asset and be very solid.
Be interesting to see what a lot of managers do with the most owned goalkeeper in the game, because Sanchez is that, owned by almost 24% of managers. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see who managers have on their bench, or if they just hold out for a few save points there. Anyway, Jules, what fixture is catching your eye this weekend?
I like the Newcastle-Chelsea game. One, because of Kai Havertz, your favourite, Kelly, who is still a bit of an enigma, doesn't have a great game against Norwich. How did he not even score in that game or assist before coming off when Chelsea was so good and so dominant.
Are you going to take out your wild card, Kelly? Did we hear that right earlier on in the podcast?
Yeah, I've got Mason Mount instead.
I see. I don't know about you, Jules. I think that's a mistake. I think.
Don't try that.
No, this is not mind games, Kelly. This is not mind games. Yeah. Newcastle have conceded a lot of goals from inside that 6 yard area, and I think that's more Havertz territory than Mount territory.
Completely.
Jules, carry on with
Havertz.
No one cares about my wild card.
Well, no, we're saying that for you because we see the poor numbers and
we're trying to help.
That you've had the last few weeks. Havertz played much higher on the pitch in the League Cup where he scored against Southampton in midweek than he did against Norwich, for example, which goes back to the point that Lee just made, that I think he would be far more present in the box against Newcastle than he was against Norwich, for example. So I can definitely see him scoring goals in that game against Newcastle. Newcastle, who still haven't won this season, even now that Bruce is gone and Graham Jones is the caretaker manager, still concede chances, and we saw that against Crystal Palace, even if they got a point. So I think this could be another very good afternoon for Chelsea.
What about defensively then as well? Because Ben Chilwell, what a run he's been on. 3 goals in his last 3 matches. He's the second most transferred in player this game week. Can you understand why? And also, I have to ask with the Chelsea defenders now, a bit like we do with Pep Guardiola's team selections, if you pick someone like Chilwell, do you have to be mindful that he might not start, Duncan?
Yeah, and I think it's unlikely that Ben Chilwell is going to keep scoring every week. You know, he's not Jamie Vardy from a few seasons ago. And I think this is the issue, isn't it? Where if you see a player go on a run like this, if you leave it too long, and then you miss the prime spot. I mean, the only thing I would say about Chelsea is their form completely sustainable? Their gap between goals scored and expected goals is the biggest in terms of their overperforming. And at the back as well, they should have conceded about 11 goals on XG, and they've only actually let in 3, which is a massive overperformance. A lot of that down to Mendy in goal. So they are top of the league and they are looking good, but I think there will be a slight correction now. As we've talked about, I don't think that will come against Newcastle, but I don't think they're quite as defensively solid as maybe it looks at first glance.
Well, they're the fixtures that are catching our panel's eye this weekend. Plenty of points hopefully available from those games. Now, though, it's time to look further ahead in the long view. Well, the breaking news from the long view is that we've used our fixture difficulty rating and Chelsea no longer top it. Instead, it's the team they beat 7-0 last weekend. Norwich are at the top of the fixture ticker. It feels quite hard to discuss their FPL credentials, given the fact they've only scored 2 goals all season. So, Duncan, have you got any stats or any magic that can suggest any Canaries players?
No, to be honest. I mean,
short and sweet. That.
Honesty is what we ask for.
They just look a little bit broken at the moment. I think the Leeds game is potentially a really good chance to get back, you know, to get a win at last. But at the moment, they're setting so many records for teams that are struggling that you can't look past that, really. I think we need to see a little bit of form, a little bit of non-Chelsea approach before we can back anyone, really.
Well, just behind Norwich are Brentford. Now, we've spoken about them at length in recent podcasts, but some really bad news for them and their goalkeeper, David Raya, this week. He's set to be out for an extended spell on the sidelines, injured. How does that affect them, do you think, Jules?
I think it's a big blow because he'd been very good for them on his line, in the box, but also his distribution for the way they want to play was very good. He was a key part of that build-up play, if you want. So without him, we've said defensively they've been really strong. And even against Leicester, if you look at the game, if Tielemans doesn't score that well, they were solid and they were quite dominant too. So I don't know how much it will impact in terms of numbers. We will have to see how they do without him. But certainly the fact that and it's not just, as you've been saying, missing the next 2 games, for example. So you can even put him on your bench. I think he'd be out for the next 5 months. So you need to start, if you have Raya in your team, you need to start about changing and getting someone else.
You have 10% of managers at the time of recording still have David Raya, Jules. Who would you recommend to bring in as a replacement?
Well, it depends what your budget is to replace him, because Mendy is currently leading the goalkeepers scoring points with Alisson, but they're over 6 million, both of them, when Raya is only 4.5, I think, or 4.6. There's other options. We mentioned Sanchez at Brighton, which is a bit the obvious one and very similar as well in terms of price bracket and everything. But we said we've had a few worries about the Brighton defending at the moment. So it really depends. I like my boy Ramsdale, who's done really well. And I was gutted when he conceded that Ramsey goal on Friday night. But I think he's done really well. And Arsenal defensively, even if they have the Leicester game to come and a few more tough fixtures, I think Ramsdale at 4.5 or 4.6 could be interesting. But if you have the money, go for Mendy or Alisson for sure.
Yeah, not only does that affect people that have David Raya, Lee, does that affect people that also have their defenders, do you think?
Yes, I guess it does a little bit. Yeah, it's a blow. I agree with what Jules is saying. It's a blow for Raya to be out. But I don't think it would necessarily put me off, certainly in the short term. I mean, Brentford's fixtures, they've got Burnley up next, who ranked 19th for expected goals and 17th for expected goals conceded. So Burnley really not having a great season. And then, as we mentioned before, Norwich only 2 goals scored all season. So it doesn't put me off in the short term. And I think if you wanted to have a look at Rico Henry or Pontus Janssen or any of the other Brentford defenders, then I wouldn't put you off of that. But it's up the other end of the field for Brentford that I'm looking. Certainly, I'm keeping a close eye on Frank's press conferences this week, because if Brian Mbeumo is fit and available, and I think we've said on this podcast before, there's a ridiculous stat about him hitting the post or the woodwork like 6 times or something this season, whereas every other player has got like 1 or 2. It's frankly bonkers how many times he's hit the post. I think he's fantastic value coming into this little mini run that Brentford have got, with Burnley, Norwich and Newcastle coming up next. And then Everton at home in 13 even is not too bad. And actually, even Spurs in 14 away, let's see whether Spurs' form can improve by then. But actually, that run of 5 for Brentford looks great.
Reminder too, if you want to check out the full fixture difficulty rating, it is available at fantasy.premierleague.com. Next up, it's transfers and captains. So I thought I'd kick off our transfer section this week by letting you know who's been popular around the world. Mason Mount, Ben Chilwell and Phil Foden, currently the most transferred in at the time of recording. Romelu Lukaku, Marcus Alonso and Paul Pogba, the most transferred out. So come on then, Duncan, you have 2 transfers. So let's kick off with your plans.
Well, it's a difficult decision because I'm getting rid of Ronaldo. Sorry, Cristiano. As someone suggested in one of the tweets, do we put a premium striker in his place so that you've got the option to go back if you need to? In which case, I think probably Aubameyang, as Jules was saying, is a good shout. And then I could probably bring in Foden, I think, in midfield. Or go the other way, bring in someone like Hwang or Ivan Toney up front. And that allows me to bring in Mane, as Lee mentioned earlier, or De Bruyne, if we think he's about to hit this rich rain of form. So that's a decision I've got to make. But that was the reason that I rolled over the transfer from last week, so I could do this surgical procedure ahead of match week 10.
Interestingly, Ronaldo is the 4th most transferred out player this week as well. What about you then, Lee? What are your transfer plans?
Well, I think as I tend to do most weeks at the minute this season, I've got a couple of flags in my team. I've got to be a bit reactive with my transfers and keep an eye on the news for injury news to, in my case, Vardy and Rafinha. So both of them, I think, are going to be okay. But you absolutely need to keep an eye on the press conferences and see how they're getting on. If they are both okay and they're both looking to play, then I'll be doing a bit more of a proactive transfer. And I'm thinking of bringing in Ben Chilwell. Just that the form this guy's got is sensational. We mentioned it earlier on in the pod. I think he's got the nod there from Tuchel as well. I think Tuchel gave him some time early on in the season to kind of recover a little bit mentally from the summer that he had and to kind of get up to speed with the season. I think he gave him that time and his good man management there from Tuchel. And I think he's now first choice there. Of course, Alonso looms large, doesn't it? But the fact that Chilwell didn't play in the Carabao Cup in midweek suggests to me that he's going to get some game time now, and we'll roll out against that against Newcastle in game week 10. So Chilwell's looking good for me. If Vardy or Rafinha are injured, I'm going to have to sort out one of those guys. And Vardy to Toney looks like a good move. I'd be happy to make it. But if he's fit, then I'll stick with the Leicester man.
Yeah, Jules, looking at your team, you made 2 transfers last week, but I notice you've got a couple of flags as well.
Yeah, similar problem than Lee. I've got Rafinha and Vardy too. I've got Mbeumo and Christensen too, who are not fully fit, at fully 100% right now. So you need to check what the managers are saying, what the feel is around them playing, not playing. I don't like players playing not 100%, like, as in, you know, coming back from an injury and things like that, because I never know You never feel that they're ready or that they can play the whole game. They might be coming off after 50 minutes, 60 minutes, which is not good either. So that's where I am this week. I've got one free transfer. I can play the wild card, I guess, like you, Kelly. But yeah, I don't like all those orange flags.
On to the captaincy then. And 3.2 million managers captained Mo Salah last week. I'm not going to ask Lee this because I know what the answer will be if I ask him. Duncan, is it as simple as captain him every week?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, last week I did what a lot of people did, I imagine, and thought, well, Manchester United away, these games always end 0-0, very cagey. But as the hat-trick goal rolled in, I was very happy to just keep checking the app, just check the points that are rolling in. It's quite a nice feeling, isn't it? So, yeah, I mean, this week, probably the same. I mean, you could, you know, Kevin De Bruyne at home to Crystal Palace, triple captain him, and that's a differential. Big time, but wow. That's not going to happen, is it? That's not going to happen. So, yeah, I'm sure I will do what many millions of other people do and go with Salah again.
Lee, Salah, yes?
Yes, shortest bit of the podcast this, Kelly. Yeah, Salah captain for me this week and probably for many weeks to come, I'd suggest.
What about you, Jules? Are you the third one saying yes?
Yeah, sorry. Same here too.
Sorry to be boring, Kelly.
Yeah.
Okay, so Mo Salah is going to surely be the most captained player going into this game week against Brighton. But could it be worth captaining a City asset against Palace, as you said before, Duncan?
Yeah, well, I've posited the De Bruyne triple captain as a madness. But yeah, I mean, Foden and Grealish, I think, both scoring points. I think Palace have been good this season. You know, they changed their style of play under Vieira. But I think, and they did obviously have that famous win at City when Townsend scored one of the all-time great goals. But you do feel like City will get a reaction in this game. And particularly perhaps Phil Foden, who looked pretty upset to have missed the crucial penalty. So yeah, it is an option. And I think that would be, we're in a situation now where if you can get a good captaincy score that isn't Salah, you're going to have that's a big differential against your rivals in your leagues.
Okay, well, that's all we've got time for on this week's podcast. My thanks go to Duncan, Lee and Julian for joining me. And also a big thank you to our outgoing producer, Joel. This is the last podcast this week that he is going to be producing. He is off to pastures new. Don't worry, though, he is going to bring in a replacement. We'll have the lovely Sammy joining us next week. But a big thanks to Joel for all his hard work on the podcast over the past couple of seasons. And thank you guys at home for listening as well. Remember, join our league. 1KIKS7 is the code. And most importantly, do not forget your deadline is 11 a.m. UK time on Saturday. The very best of luck. And don't forget, we will be back next week.